This podcast is brought to you by Fin24.com.
Welcome to Unzipped, Fin24.com's technology podcast. My name is Simon Dingle. In today's show, we take a look at Google Analytics, a free tool that you can use for your business. You might already be using it, but not realize the full extent of what you can achieve with it. We're going to speak to Sarah Blake from Quirk eMarketing. She's going to be hosting some workshops in Johannesburg and Cape Town surrounding Google Analytics, and we'll find out from her why you'd want to attend and what you can get out of those workshops. We're also going to speak to Vanna Janssen van Rensburg, a developer who's taking part in PayPal's Developer X Challenge, which is being sponsored by FNB. We'll find out more about that PayPal Developer X Challenge, the application that Vanna has developed, and what's possible with PayPal as a platform. We'll also chat to Svetlana Doneva, our multimedia editor at fin24.com, for our weekly gadget chat. And in today's chat, we take a look at the Puma phone. That's right, a phone from a company that predominantly makes clothing, which is Puma. But first, it's time to find out more about Google Analytics. Here's Sarah Blake from Quirk eMarketing. So, Sarah, for the completely uninitiated, what is Google Analytics to begin with?
Google Analytics is a free web analytics tool, which means that it captures data about how people get to your website and how they use your website.
Okay, fantastic. So if I'm a small business, and I'm going to assume that this is for small businesses who have websites, and in this day and age you aren't much of a business at all if you don't, what exactly are they going to be able to work out at these workshops when it comes to Google Analytics? What will they learn to do with it?
Well, from a web analytics perspective, I think at a very basic level, businesses need to understand how people get to their website and then what people do when they get there. So you can use data to understand visitors' expectations and then use data to understand how well those expectations are met. If we look at Google Analytics, it is a free web analytics tool. And I think, unfortunately, that often means people don't really realize just how powerful and customizable it is.
Okay.
So I'm hoping attendees will learn what basic customizations they need to make in order to get the best data out.
Now, of course, some people also worry about the technicalities that might be involved, because it all sounds very technical until you actually sit down with it, because it's not really, is it?
It's not at all, and I think Google Analytics has done a great job of visually representing the data in a way that's very accessible.
Okay. So the workshops are happening in Cape Town on the 10th of November and then on the 12th of November in Johannesburg. If people would like to attend, what do they need to do?
The easiest thing is to go to quirk.biz/courses, and you can find all the course information there. Or you can call us on 021-462-7353 and ask to speak to Diane.
Okay, and I assume that's how the bookings will work as well. Is there a cost involved?
There is. It's 2,950 Rand, and that includes a tasty lunch.
Sounds fantastic. And will you keep them busy all day?
I certainly hope to.
Okay, so it's 8:30 for 9, and it goes on until 5 o'clock. Great. Well, there you have it. Thank you so much, Sarah. That was Sarah Blake from Quirk eMarketing. Time to take a look at PayPal now. The service launched in South Africa not too long ago in partnership with FNB. Now, it's possible to develop applications that sort of incorporate PayPal into them, and there's a competition for people making such applications. It's called the PayPal X Developer Challenge. To find out more about it, we're going to chat to a winner in the South African leg of the competition, and that's Vanna Janssen van Rensburg. So, Vanna, you are one of the winners in the PayPal X Developer Challenge. Tell us about this competition and who it's for.
Yes, first of all, thanks, Simon. The competition was an initiative by FNB and PayPal. FNB was pivotal in bringing PayPal to South Africa, and they ran a competition to get early adopters in South Africa to start using PayPal as a payment gateway. So they ran a competition and offered a sponsored trip to San Francisco for the winners to attend an exhibit at the PayPal X Innovate Conference, which was last week.
Okay, fantastic. So tell us about what you did to enter this competition. What was it that you created?
Yes, our product is called Billbox. It's a small web application that we've developed, and it allows people to keep track of receipts and payments. So for anyone that shares bills, like students or flatmates or holiday or business travel, it allows you to set up a group, invite all the members that will share expenses, and then everyone can record their receipts on the system. So a simple example, I share a house with three other people. Someone typically pays for the rent, someone else buys groceries, someone pays for the electricity. we all add our receipts on the system and it keeps track of who owes who. So what it also helps to do is at the end of the day, instead of settling money between group members all the time, if I know I owe my group members money, I'll just pick up the tab for the next grocery bill or I'll pay the rent for next month, for
example. So this is obviously a product then that you intend to take to market if you haven't already. So tell us more about that. Is this going to be available? Is it going to be exclusively in South Africa? Is it something you've designed for the global market?
Absolutely. It's live at the moment. We went live about 2.5 weeks ago. The website address is www.billboxit.com. It's not exclusively for South Africans. We are marketing it globally. We've just started with that. And it costs $3 a month for unlimited users to a group. So typically our groups have three people or more, and that works out to about $1 a month per person.
Okay, fantastic. Now, in terms of what you've won from the PayPal X Developer Challenge, what is it that you'll be getting out of the competition?
Yeah, so FNB sponsored the trip for both myself and my co-developer on the project to attend the PayPal Innovate X conference in San Francisco. That helped us tremendously in terms of marketing and developing a footprint internationally to get some visibility outside of South Africa. Furthermore, FNB is assisting us with marketing locally in South Africa to get visibility for our product. But most of all, I think attending the conference has been hugely beneficial in terms of seeing where the international trends is going, especially with regard to mobile, which was a big focus at the conference in San Francisco. And it also helped us to see where we need to focus on in terms of expanding and further developments on Billbox in order to tap into the global market.
Now, having been to the conferences, and as you say, you've been exposed to a lot of the trends out there, what do you make of the South African markets? I mean, PayPal is a fairly new development in South Africa. The online payment space is in its infancy in the local economy, and there's some legal challenges there as well because we have all sorts of weird regulations about foreign currencies. So in terms of the global market, where do you place South Africa, and what are some of the big trends that you see emerging?
As far as PayPal and readiness in South Africa is concerned, I think Chris Savides from FNB would be able to answer those questions more accurately. My personal opinion, though, is that I think a lot of the focus we've seen at the conference has been on mobile, especially mobile payments and PayPal, for example, allowing customers to make easy transfers by just tapping their cell phones together, or easy payments by just tapping a little chip at the checkout counter and that automatically deducts from their PayPal accounts. I certainly think those are exciting technology developments that we should keep our eyes on. But I think I definitely think in terms of online banking and other aspects that South Africa isn't lagging behind. I think the biggest developments we've seen was certainly in the mobile space. And I think South Africa is very active in that regard.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations to you and your partner. I understand somebody by the name of Neil you work with on this.
Yeah, that's correct.
And all the best of luck in taking Billbox to the world. That was Vanna Janssen van Redensburg from Billbox. And now it's time for our weekly gadget chat. Joining us for that, as always, is Svetlana Doniver, the multimedia editor at fin24.com. Hi, Svetlana.
Hi, Simon. How are you today?
Good, and you?
I'm fine. So today you have a Puma phone made
Puma
by Sagem. Puma being the sportswear brand.
Well, it's made by Puma. Their manufacturing partner is Sagem.
Yeah. Now, Simon, I'm playing with this phone and you're going to have to convince me really, really well why this phone is so special, because honestly, I've got it in my hand and I'm a little bit underwhelmed.
Well, I think the reason I wanted to talk about it is because I think it's an interesting development as a mobile phone to come from a predominantly clothing manufacturer and a sports brand like Puma. And I think, you know, we've seen Nike start moving into the technology space with their partnership with Apple and all the Nike Plus applications and products for the iPod. And it really looks like sporting brands and fashion brands are starting to look at technology more and ways that they can get involved. Because, of course, a phone, if you think about it, for a lot of people is a fashion accessory.
Yeah.
So Puma's got this phone. It's a very affordable phone. In South Africa, it goes for 3,000 Rand. It's available only from Vodacom at the moment. But it's designed for sporty, active people. Yeah, it's already available. Mm-hmm. Sporty, active people who like the Puma brand. And it's a very simple phone, although you can do some pretty advanced things with it. So, for example, it's got a solar panel on the back, and this is one of the things I really like about it. I think it's a really handy and neat and fun accessory. Well, not even accessory, it's part of the phone. But you can pop it in the sun, and you can charge it up instead of plugging it into the wall.
Okay, now I'm going to play devil's advocate about the solar battery, because I also think it's a nifty idea. And of course, I'm all for sustainable energy. But when I think about how much time I spend with my phone in the sun, it's pretty minimal. I mean, it mostly lives in my bag.
Sure.
Surely wouldn't it make more sense for this phone to have some kind of a motion operated, like, you know, when you're walking or moving,
like
it, a kinetic.
Unfortunately, kinetic technology, while it's sort of good enough to power a wristwatch, but it doesn't give quite the kick that you need for a mobile phone. I mean, the idea is not that you exclusively use the solar panel on this phone.
No, I know.
But you could, for example, pop it on, you know, the seat of your car while you're driving around, and it would pick up some charge. You could pop it on the windowsill in your office or your home, or if you're sitting outside having lunch in the sun. You know, whatever. I think really the kind of person who's going to go for this phone is probably younger, maybe mm-hmm. a student, somebody who spends time at the beach whenever they can. It's really designed for sporty, active person and probably a young, quite fashion conscious person. I wouldn't personally use it.
Or perhaps someone that's young enough to be impressed by a gimmicky, which I think it is, a solar panel.
I don't think so at all. I mean, it's actually quite functional. It's got an app that shows you how many messages and minutes of call time you've made using solar energy, which is quite cool. Mm-hmm. And it's not a gimmicky phone. It's a serious phone. You can do your email on it. You can load applications. There aren't that many applications available, but there's an app store for it. It's got a GPS built in, so you can use it for your navigation.
GPS is good.
Yeah. It doesn't have Wi-Fi. That was mm-hmm. the one thing I didn't like about it. So you have to use your sort of 3G connection on the phone. It's got a camera. It can make video calls.
Yeah, you can also use it for video conferencing, right?
Yes, yeah. Okay. So it's definitely not a gimmicky device. It's a very serious mobile phone. And Sagem, of course, is a very experienced manufacturer of mobile phones.
They don't have a big market share in South Africa.
It's quite
small.
They did
try and break through about 5 or 7 years ago, I remember, they had quite an aggressive advertising campaign.
But where they do well is in the specialist niche spaces. So, for mm-hmm. example, satellite phones.
Okay.
Sagem owns a large part of that market internationally.
Now, tell me, what is this phone based on? Is it Android, Java?
It's an operating system that Puma has had developed with Sagem, especially for the device. So you'll notice it's very minimalistic. Everything's red and white. It's very fun. There's no sort of numbers. When the battery's full, it says happy. Mm. When the battery needs charging, it says hungry. While it's plugged in, it says feeding. There's all these videos of an actual Puma called Dylan, who lives in the phone. You can tell it to ask you trivia, and you can tell it what time of the day you prefer that to be. So when you're off, so say in the evenings, it'll start asking you trivia questions. If you open up the calculator and you ask it a really easy sum, like, you know, 2 + 2, it'll go, that's too easy. But then it'll still give you the answer. So
Okay. There's
a lot of fun and personality in the phone, which I really enjoyed about
it.
It's definitely designed for people who don't want all of the numbers and the tech specs and that sort of thing.
The home screen, instead of, it's got very big icons.
Yes.
No text.
Yeah.
Which is nice. And it does have quite a distinctive design. It's a very clean interface with quite a large bold fonts.
Yes.
And the icon art, it's something I've actually never seen on a phone before, on a phone interface, the way that this looks.
It's sort of these one-dimensional, one-color icons, but it looks quite striking.
It's kind of retro, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's got a bit of a retro feel to it. When I first saw it, I almost thought it looked a little bit, I'm not sure. I guess I'm just not used to seeing icons and interface like this.
There's a big plus here for anybody who's into sports, though, because there are a lot of sporting applications on this phone. There's an application for running that'll keep track of your routes and your times and all the rest of it. There's another application for cycling. There's a sports compass designed for people who do yacht racing and that sort of thing. And then there's more online that you can download. So in terms of its sports functionality, you know, the iPhone's got a lot of great applications like this, but the Puma phone comes with about six of them preloaded and more on the way. So, I mean, really, this is, if you're in the market for an iPhone or a BlackBerry or that sort of thing, this isn't the phone for you. But if you sort of sporty, outgoing, and you're looking for something fun, not necessarily even young. I mean, if you're just looking for something fun and different, if you don't need advanced features in a phone and you're quite happy just having your email, SMS, being able to make calls and that sort of thing. It's also a music player, so you can load your MP3s on it. You can load videos on it. So I think this is going to be a niche device, but it's going to be attractive to a lot of people.
Okay. I did read a few criticisms of the web browser. Can you defend it?
Not really. The web browser is not fantastic. That said, it's probably better than the one that BlackBerry had until the recent operating system.
Okay.
Now the web browser is rubbish. I'm not going to defend it.
Okay.
But you know, once again, I think the kind of person who's going to this phone isn't going to be a power internet user. You know. So it probably won't matter too much to them.
Okay, Simon. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Svetlana. That's our weekly gadget chat, and that was Svetlana Donova, the multimedia editor at fin24.com. And that's it for the show this week. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, of course. My name is Simon Dingle for fin24.com.